No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
It's a Swather House.
People are dead, Tyler. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse. And guess what? Tomorrow is my birthday.
Yay.
If you're listening to this on release day. And guess what that means? That means that we're going to talk about Slaughter House.
Yeah, birthday pick time.
Yay! Okay, before we do that, announcements. Oh, TV or not to be this weekend?
Yep. Jesse's pick.
Yep. Double birthday. I think that's it.
That's it. That's all we got. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Poll?
Yeah. Okay. Poll results from last week's episode. So last week we talked about The Collector and we wanted to ask you guys who should Arkin have saved? So the options were Hannah, Larry, Spider, or Double Fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody getting saved. So on Twitter, 40% chose Hannah. Nobody chose Larry. 20% chose...
Twitter doesn't know what to do with Larry either.
Nobody does. 20% says the spider and 40% the two fingers, nobody.
All right.
And over on Instagram, 56% Hannah. 0% Larry. 33% the spider, 11% nobody. Man, I love that, like, people are choosing nobody over Larry. Like, Larry gets no love from anybody.
But he's Larry Wharton. Yeah.
Man, he was about to have sex that night, too. Like, the only person that cared for him was his wife, and now everybody else is just like, yeah, fuck that guy. Leave him in the box.
Mm. But there's way too much to deal with. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
You know, it's too much to unpack with him. Like, just leave it alone. If I were to go with the moral choice, I would have to do Hannah because I am a tad bit arachnophobic, so I can't do the spider. And but for fun, I like the two fingers. I like the middle finger because it's the alternate ending, and it's just funny that Arkin could just flip him off and just walk away.
I mean, I was pretty aghast at him potentially leaving Hannah behind, especially when he had a child that age. So Obviously I'm going with Hannah.
Okay. So Hannah does win.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hannah wins. Okay. All right. That's it for our poll. So let's get silly with it. Let's talk about some Swather House.
And guys, we are going to get really silly with it. I have more notes on this than I think I have on most movies we talk about because I decided I was going to write down the social media stats for everybody that popped up except for The Pledge.
Social media exposition is an absurd thing that happens in this movie, and there's so much of it within the first 8 minutes.
Yeah.
It's insane.
One of the rare cases where I feel like tell and show is one and the same, and it just like, cool, yeah. Now we don't have to do any character development.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So this movie... I got 3 release dates.
Whoa. Okay.
Just for the U.S.
Just for the U.S.
Yeah,
alone.
Yeah. I wasn't going to try and get the international stuff in there on top of all of this. So in the U.S., there was a limited release in Regal Theaters on August 30th, 2023.
I remember seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
DVD Blu-ray release on September 19th, 2023. And then you and I know that it released on the internet, most notably Hulu, on October 15th, 2023.
Yep, that was one of our Scream Screen movies from October.
That yeah, we do no, every... I had that like marked on a calendar. I was like, we're watching this.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously we watched it on Hulu again this weekend.
We'll probably end up buying this one down the line. So we'll...
Oh, absolutely. I have had their, I don't think they have the DVD available on their website.
It's on Amazon.
Okay.
And I've seen it because it's on one of the Amazon warehouse stills. So we can get it for cheap.
Okay. Yeah. Well, because like I was looking through their shop, and when you said that, I just realized that I didn't see the DVD or Blu-ray. I might have missed it because the way their stuff was laid out was a little counterintuitive. So I would love to like look through like their actual shop first.
Yeah. Like a lot of times with things like that, I remember like Pool Party Massacre especially because they have a whole website where they have merch. They actually like sold props from that movie on there.
Yeah.
And just like really random other things not even related to the movie. So I wonder if Swather House has like the same deal going.
If you don't have Hulu, you can rent it from Vudu Prime, YouTube, Google Play, or Redbox.
All right.
And it's definitely worth the money to rent this at least once.
Yeah, I mean, at least once. If you don't have Hulu, like, you know, or buy the fucking DVD.
Yeah.
But that's a lot to ask. Some people are into blind buying, some people aren't.
Yeah. Written by Bradley Fowler and Katie Lanigan, directed by Matthew Goodhue, music by Sam Ewing, and there isn't like a dedicated special effects makeup artist. They just had like a makeup department.
Okay.
None of them was like special effects makeup, so, which kind of tracks with some of the stuff we see.
Yeah. So. Oh, I wonder if like if we get like a puppeteer credit.
I didn't look. I should have looked.
I feel like there's somebody out because it was definitely like a puppet, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. That's confirmed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So starring Lisa Mbalavanar. Lisa Mbalavanar.
Okay. That's hard.
Lisa Mbalavanar is Emily.
Nice.
Sydney Craven is Brianna. Andrew Horton as Tyler, Bianca Beckles-Rose as Zunny, Olivia Royer as Madison, Tiff Stevenson as Miss Mayflower, and Stephen Kepisik as Oliver. All right, Travis, it's time for our favorite game, Budget or Buckthead.
Boy, does this look like a big budget movie? No.
Okay, so it is definitely Bughead, and it is one of those that is so Bughead, I don't have a Bughead for it.
Yeah, I imagine it's like super, super low.
Its worldwide gross is $122,000.
Wow, good for them.
And it's got a very rude IMDb score, I'm going to say.
What is it?
4.7.
That is rude, man. I don't know. I could be wrong, but like I feel like that has to do with like a lot of people like going into it expecting something and then it not being what they wanted it to be.
Yeah. So I picked three other movies from 2023, none that we've talked about on this show.
Okay.
And the theme is, I think, killer animals.
Oh, I think killer animals. Okay.
I'll explain that more on the third one.
Doubt there, I can sense.
The first movie is Meg 2, The Trench.
Hey.
Which we finally saw the first one this year as well. And what a delightful little movie.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Did we watch the sequel? I feel like
we haven't
did.
Watched the sequel yet. We added it to our list. We went ahead and clicked the little plus sign, but we haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. That released August 4th, 2023. Your birthday.
Yeah.
You're not ready for the budget.
My birthday and your birthday. Sorry. It's like, oh, okay, hold on. Let me guess. Big budget. It's got Jason Statham. It's got a big well. Those are not expensive.
Not a whale.
Those are not cheap.
What? what are you saying?
They got an actual megalodon for it, okay?
It's real. They did Jurassic Park science and brought a megalodon to life.
I feel like they did. They had to.
And they had to train the megalodon trainer.
They had to train the trainer.
Oops, pay the megalodon trainer.
All right. No, I like the idea of like training a trainer.
Apart. We are falling apart. Okay.
It's like 100 mil, I would guess.
129 mil.
Damn.
Okay. That might be the biggest budget we've ever listed on this show.
I don't know, man.
For comparative.
I think Nope had like a really, really big budget too.
Oh, that's true. Nope was way up there.
Yeah.
I feel like Nope was closer to like the 80 mil range though.
Might be, but still it was really high up there.
Worldwide gross of 395 million.
Okay.
And an IMDb score of 5.0.
Okay.
So if you liked The Meg 2, I keep calling it The Meg 2. I'm like those people that add S to the end of like Kroger and Meyer, except I just add the at the beginning of things lately.
Is it not the, is it just Meg 2?
It's Meg 2, The Trench.
Oh, okay. I thought it was called The Meg.
No.
It's just been called Meg?
I think the first one might be The Meg.
The Meg, and then this one's just Meg 2. Okay.
Okay. Anyway. Second movie. Also about a megalodon.
Okay.
It's called The Black Demon.
What?
Yeah.
A demon movie about a megalodon.
No, I think the megalodon is referred to as the Black Demon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Right. Released April 28th, 2023. No budget, but a worldwide gross of 3.4 million.
Okay.
And an IMDb score of 3.7 out of 10.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay. That's low.
Okay. The third movie. I have not seen this or the one that came before it, so I'm going off of title alone. Bird Box, Barcelona. Surely okay. birds are involved. Wait, okay. If they aren't, I don't want to know.
I haven't seen either of those either. But like, is your assumption that the birds are the ones that are killing?
I feel like at least some of the killing.
I don't know, man. Something tells me there's some kind of like cult shit going on there.
I feel like birds are a cult.
Isn't like the whole thing with that is like they can't look. They have to be blindfolded. Like what happens? Like is it like they look at a bird and like they get killed?
Maybe.
Like they make eye contact. Like it's the opposite of like a quiet place where like the sound does it. Like it's that like eye contact.
You're acting like I'm silly for this, but Alfred Hitchcock, like
the birds, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the other like really stupid one? Birdemic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean birds are scary.
Yeah, they are, but I don't know. I don't know if that's so really what
I'm assuming that they get out of the... I'm assuming that the end of the first one, all of the birds were put back into the box and shipped to Barcelona.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
yeah.
where the sequel is happening.
I think you're right, actually. No, I think you are correct.
That was released July 14th, 2023. No budget, no gross. IMDb score of 5.3 out of 10. It's the highest on our list.
I think people did like that, like the first one. So I guess it makes sense that people would like the sequel.
Sandra Bullock's, though.
Was it Sandra Bullock's?
Yeah, in the first one.
Oh, okay. Good for you, Miss Congeniality.
Okay. Just one tagline. But I think it's a good tagline.
Okay. What is it?
Don't rush, die slow.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
That is really, really good.
Yeah. Because, you know, we got rush for like sorority, but also like... Their whole thing was like, oh, sloths are faster than you think.
Yeah.
It's good wordplay.
That is really good. That's like a mic drop tagline right there.
Yeah, exactly. I was disappointed when there was only one tagline, but then I looked at it and I was like, I mean.
Can't even be mad.
Yeah, you're not going to top that one.
No. So. We're not going to top it.
We're not going to top it.
No.
Okay. I've got some fun facts.
Yeah, well, I'm really interested to hear what you got for this one.
Okay. This movie, the screenplay, whatever, originated when Bradley Fowler, one of the co-writers, tried to come up with the dumbest idea he could think of.
Oh, good. Okay. That makes sense.
co-writer Katie Lanigan described it as Mean Girls meets Happy Death Day with a touch of Gremlins. And you know what?
Interesting.
I get it.
Yeah.
I fully feel that.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I guess you're right.
She also said that it was inspired by classic horror films and the use of practical effects. So they were very practical based on this movie.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they probably couldn't go CGI unless they wanted it to look like absolute shit, which could work with the movie since they kind of had the idea of it being kind of stupid to begin with.
Well, director Matthew Goodhue, in an interview with UPI, said that they specifically wanted to make sure that they were using a puppet, and they wanted to put the puppet in broad daylight. Like, they didn't want it to be a bunch of POV shots, or you only see it in the dark. They wanted that puppet out in the open.
Yeah.
They wanted her to be a leading feature, and they wanted her to be a her, specifically to, like, you know, add another female killer into the lore of things.
Basically an all-female cast.
Yeah, pretty much. Except for Tyler. Except for Tyler and Oliver.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a quote from him that this is basically what we tell people. So we're, like, on the right wavelength with the director of the movie.
Okay, that's good.
I think audiences are going to be down for whatever we come up with. We're not trying to pretend that this is a totally normal sloth that only hangs out in trees. This is a movie titled Slother House. We are trying to have as much fun as we can.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I tell people. I'm like, they go, Slother House, what's it about? I'm like, a killer sloth. And they're like, that sounds really stupid. I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's the point. They know what this movie is. They chose to call it Slother House. It's so much fun. And he even said that they specifically wanted him doing stuff like, or they wanted her doing stuff like driving the car and things like that, taking selfies, setting up an Instagram account.
Yeah, it's like they don't want people to mistake them for like making a serious attempt at like a creepy killer sloth or anything. Like, it's meant to be dumb.
Yeah.
I get it.
And then finally, because I mentioned the Slother House website, which is just slotherhouse.com, they do have a merch shop. And actually, one of their shirts is a collab with PETA. And while I have mixed feelings with PETA as an organization, they do some good work. And 75% of the proceeds from this t-shirt go towards PETA and their mission to protect wildlife and poaching.
That's cool. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So it's nice that they were able to do that.
Yeah. And they really did want to, like, get across that. And they were like, as much as we wanted to have fun with this, we do think that it has, like, a really good message about, like, not poaching, because people really do just, like, poach and purchase animals so that way they can post these pictures online. And let us take everybody back to a time in 2020. We were all stuck in our houses and Tiger King entered into the world.
Yes. I thought about that so much while watching this movie.
Yeah, because that, like, really is a thing with a lot of those, like, quote unquote big cat rescues, because we know that those are shady. A big part of it is that way people can take pictures and go, oh, I've got a cute little tiger on my lap. And that's all it is. That's all it is for.
Well, some people use it as, like, a flex. Like, hey, yeah. I'm so rich, I got a fucking tiger in my house.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it is actually, like, a really relevant message. Maybe not to us, because we could never afford to buy a tiger as a flex. But, you know, if we get that rich someday, at least now we know the message not to poach animals.
We got two little tigers.
Scout is a panther. How dare you?
Okay, we got two panthers. Well, we just got two little tiny fat cats. Oh, yeah, really. They think that they're big.
Okay, so that's the end of my fun facts.
Yay, that was good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I guess it's time to talk about it.
Yeah, all right.
So, yeah, you kick it off with the goods.
Okie dokie. So, I do like that it leans into, like, the ridiculous premise that they have here. Like,
absolutely.
I
mean,
come on, man. With the movie being titled Slaughterhouse, I did not go into this movie expecting it to be anything serious. I expected it to be stupid fun with a killer sloth, and that's exactly what I got.
Yes.
I also like that they also make Alpha a little bit sympathetic at times.
Yeah, like her sad little flashback to Oliver throwing stuff at her in the cage.
That, and then also whenever Alyssa leaves her outside in the rain and she just kind of
looks so sad.
I know, it's raining on her, just sulking. Yeah, like, it gets ridiculous and you're kind of, like, rooting for it, because it, not because it's, like, a good person or you, like, agree with what it's doing, but it's just so fun to watch this sloth move around and kill these people in ridiculous ways, but also I feel bad for it and I want it to have a good life.
And, like, it seemed like maybe she was gonna be cool just chilling in the sorority house until she saw that picture on Emily's Instagram of her with Oliver, and then she's like, oh, okay, well, she's a bad guy.
So yeah, and then I'm confused about that. Does she just assume at that point, well, she's cool with Exotic, is everybody else here cool with them? I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and kill them just to be safe. That way that they don't poach anybody else.
Guilt by association. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I also like that it plays some of the death scenes straight. Like, it does, like, straight up suspense for some things.
Dude, Sarah's death scene with the flashes of the lightning, that, and she's just getting closer and closer.
No, that was amazing.
That's, like, that's one of those images that the first time we watched this, like, that scene stuck with me. Because I was like, it's a puppet, and it's very obviously a puppet, but it's still so chilling that, like, because I feel like I've said this before, I'm never not going to be freaked out by, like, a totally dark room and the killer gets closer and closer when whatever is causing flashes of light.
No, it's so awesome. I love it. That's my favorite scene in the entire movie. And it's a good way to, like, use the atmosphere of the storm and the lightning, because it's just lightning flashes and it just disappears. It's
and that
so
was
crazy.
That was one of the things that Matthew Goodhue said in that interview I quoted earlier, that they did want to play around with some of the more classic tropes, so things like that, being able to just play with them in this movie.
That's cool. Yeah. Kind of like what you were talking about from your facts here, I do like that it does have a message to it, because that's not something that you would really expect from a movie like this, but, you know, they have fun while also giving, like, an important message. You know, poachers kind of suck.
And I like that we got to have this message about the poachers without it being, like, Sarah McLachlan, like, singing over top of everything, you know? Yeah. I wasn't prepared for that the first time we watched that, and that was, like, a nice, like, bit of heart to the movie.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, that's my good stuff. I like a lot of that.
Okay. I love this movie. I love that they play into it so well. They knew exactly what they were doing, and you can tell that they knew exactly what they were doing, so it's easy to just have fun with it. It's kind of like what we talked about with The Collector last week. Like, they weren't trying to hide that this is an over-the-top premise. Like, they weren't trying to play it like, oh, we're in a universe where this is a thing that can actually happen.
I feel like people when they go to this movie probably don't take it as seriously as people that go into The Collector, because I don't think anybody's going into this movie expecting it to be a grounded experience.
No.
But I do think it's worth giving them credit, because I know making intentionally dumb movies actually be good is tough.
Yeah, it's definitely a balance that you have to strike, and it's more of an art than I think people really realize.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, that movie is so fucking stupid, but I love it. They tried to do it again with Thanksgiving 3, and it fell on its face. Like, it just was not as good.
Because they misunderstood what worked well about the first one, and I think that's one of those things that tends to happen with these types of movies a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people just think, like, just making it dumb by default and not really putting a whole lot of thought into it is just how you do it. But that's, you still got to treat it like a real project, you know what I mean?
Yeah, good comedy is smart. And yeah, exactly. This movie is smart in how it plays things.
Exactly.
It just seeing this little puppet fly all over the place, it cracks me up. And maybe that's just because I grew up watching Muppets and Alf, but I'm never going to be mad about a puppet on screen, you know?
I respect it, man. Like, it's fun watching stuff like that.
And, like, you know, she makes her whole little Instagram thing and is taking pictures.
Oh my God, it's so fucking stupid.
We've got a fantastic montage of Alpha just like ruling the school, but also like people are disappearing and nobody cares. And there's dead bodies inside of the sorority house for 2 weeks.
I love that little montage though, because everything's cool and chill, but then you're like, okay, like I thought this was, like I thought Alpha was supposed to be mad at him, and it's like, oh no, here's like a musical cue and a bunch of shots of Alpha killing them.
I'm gonna be honest, Alpha reminds me a lot of a cat. Like, very happy to be in a domesticated situation, but also very willing to kill you if you upset her.
Yeah, they're very temperamental. Like, if you wrong them in any way, they're gonna kill you probably with their claws.
Yeah, Zoe has been on a big streak of just shushing Travis every time he tries to pick her up. She just puts her paw on his mouth so he can't talk to her.
I tried to tell her the other day that it wasn't time to eat, and she literally put her paw on my lips and just like, shh.
Yeah, she wasn't having it. So I just have a lot of fun with this movie. I think it's got humor. It's got heart. It's got a couple like really tense moments.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is such a fun time. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what I want from a movie. I want to have fun. And I have fun for the entire hour and 32 minutes that this is on.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Now time for the bad stuff.
Time for the bad stuff.
Okay. So, I didn't really have a whole lot bad for this, but here are two things that would change. First of all, I can only handle Zinni in small doses, and they give her way too much screen time in this movie. It's like anything, something happens, they give her a reaction shot, and it's too much, man. Like, small doses with that character, because she's way too over the top, and her line delivery on everything is just, I don't know, there's something about it that, like, frustrates me. Like, I can't handle it that much.
She's a character that grows on me throughout the movie.
No, she...
And I really think it's more, like you said, it's more about, like, the line delivery than anything. And I think the way they wrote the character was a little bit... All of the characters are kind of one-dimensional, but something about hers is just... It feels like they're trying to... I don't have a good way to, like, word it. Like, make her... a bro-y girl.
Yeah.
In a way that...
She kind of comes across as creepy in some scenes.
Yeah.
Where, like, she's trying to set up, like, the thing out front for the pool so the girls can get, like, you know, in their bikinis and she can watch them. And then she goes down there to the shower thing.
Because it's not that bro-y girls don't exist, but they're not...
It could be, like, a problematic dude. But, like, it's like they wrote a problematic dude and gave it to her.
It's not even necessarily that. It's more of like there's, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about it with her. But I like her more as the movie goes on.
No, not really me. Nah. she just kind of like wears on me, and then she just becomes like, she gets way too much focus. Like, she gets more focused than Maddie.
I love her at the end, though, when she's like, Zenny, don't die. And then she's like throwing the knives at the puppet. Like, she's almost like a human version of the puppet, where she's so cartoony and over the top.
I guess. It just doesn't work as well for me.
And I think that's part of it, is that she is such a, like, cartoon of a character almost in a way that, like, it works well playing with the puppet, but you have to have some more of those straight characters along with her.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. Like, I can understand other people enjoying that character, but it just doesn't work for me. That's okay. Cool. The only other thing that I would say that I would change about this movie is I wish that we did get some on-screen kills, because all of the kills, for the most part, are off-screen or in quick montage cuts. Like, this movie is low budget. It leans heavily into it. Give us some low budget kills. Like, there are no budget movies that do some amazing on-screen kills, and it doesn't have to look good, because nobody's expecting this movie to look good whenever you have the sloth running around like a puppet like that.
So I have a couple of theories on that.
Okay.
One, it's PG-13. So that always...
You think that was a goal? You
off
think
screen. I don't know if it was a goal or not. I'm just saying it is PG-13.
Okay.
Two, they don't have a dedicated special effects makeup artist. A lot of their effects work was going more towards making the puppet look good in the movie.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little bit more of where it was going.
I get that, but it just... I would like to see that. I think it would be fun, especially like a murderous sloth. I would love to see it tear somebody to shreds, but... Really, all we get is like a swinging of a claw and then like a shot of a wall where blood splatters on the wall. And that's pretty much the extent of it. Kick it up, man. Like, just shitty prosthetics are still fun to watch, especially if they're done by, you know, like hand, not CGI.
Yeah, but they didn't have the right people on their crew to do that is what I'm saying.
I understand that, but... This is a criticism. Okay. Get that person.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, change that.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, yeah, I think, honestly, the biggest negative is there's a couple of, like, shaky performances. Like I said, Zenny goes on and off for me, but I think some of that is writing, where, like, because they do play into a lot of stereotypes with all of the characters. Mm-hmm. You know, I made the point of saying earlier when we do the social media introductions that that's where we get a lot of exposition. This character is this type of person. This character is this type of person.
Right.
And I think we do get that. And then it lets us play with, like, the one dimensionality of, like, stereotype of this, stereotype of this. But I think something about – it's kind of like what we're talking about with the well-done bad movie thing. I think Zenny, there's just something slightly off about how her character was written, because you can do that type of character and she can be a great character and fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I think that they didn't quite know how they wanted to write her.
Yeah, I can't pinpoint exactly what it is. Like, I'm trying, but, like, I don't know. It might be a combination of both the actor and the, like, the writing for that character. I don't know.
Yeah, I really think it's more like the writing than anything.
Okay.
But like, there's also some like really nice moments where like we've got Brianna. I swear there was one scene where she reminded me so much of Judy in Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, she's got Judy attitude.
Yes, she's got such a Judy moment. So I think that we also like can kind of lean into those over the top moments and we get really fun pieces like that.
Yeah.
So it goes a little bit both ways for me. My criticism with that. So.
Okay. All right.
It was well done in some ways and not so well done in others.
Okay. I can get that. And I can agree with that. Okay. Time for our ugly for this movie. Jeez. What is there? Let's see. We got poaching.
Yeah.
Poaching fucking sucks. It's a big part of this movie and Alpha's not a fan of it. Alpha does not condone it.
You know what? Can't blame her.
No. Can't. At all. Like, taken away from her habitat. Also, that was another thing, like, when I was trying to say they made Alpha sympathetic, at the end, whenever she gets stabbed, and she just points at the picture of Panama, and she's like, home.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to say, the fucking sloth speaks in this movie, too.
Yeah.
That's another ridiculous thing, but was that, like, a E.T. thing?
Yes.
Because there was another E.T.
Yeah, there's another E.T.
Thanks
moment.
To you pointing
now
it
you
out.
Now you know, yeah. You were so excited when that happened, you were like, E.T.
Yeah, well... It's always going to be Danny DeVito to me, because that was my first time experiencing it. So, but the other thing, I think it also kind of shows the negative impact that social media can have on somebody, because Emmers, as I wrote, I just called her Emmers the entire time I wrote this.
I'm not going to lie, that's really cute. And like, people call her that in real life too, and I'm like, I probably would, honestly, if I know her, I'd probably call her Emmers.
I would too. I like it. I like Emmers as a name. But her whole thing, and she's just driven by comparing herself to other people on social media. Like, she cares too much about her followers. She cares too much about her stand, like how she stands popularity wise with everybody else in the sorority. Like, just always constantly comparing yourself to other people. Like, I don't know. It's not that big of a deal. I understand why people really want that feedback, though. Like, mm-hmm. you get that. You get that little adrenaline or like a, what's the endorphin?
Yeah, serotonin.
Serotonin, yeah. Mm-hmm. You get somebody liking something, you know, you get a new follower. Yeah, I get it. I understand it. But, like, it can really fuck with people and make them do some stupid shit just for that right there.
Well, and I think Maddie has a good line about it early on in the movie where Emily is looking at Brianna's feed. And Maddie says, you know, people like the content, but they don't like her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of times you see that type of thing and, you know, they look happy. Like, social media is not the people's lives.
Yeah.
People never really, some people get it, but, like, there's a lot of people that just think that that's, like, how they actually live their lives. Like, I've seen it explained, like, that's just the highlight reel. Like, nobody, mm-hmm. that's just what they want you to think that their life is. But really, like, a lot of times it's not anywhere as glamorous as they want you to think.
And, I mean, we get a lot of movies like that. And we've talked about a couple of them on the show and on our Patreon. Like, think about New Year, New Me.
Yeah, exactly.
Or New
yeah.
Year, New You. Ingrid Goes West.
Yeah. Oh, big in Ingrid Goes West. Yeah. That's like the whole thing in that.
Yeah. So it really is like a thing that it's a new thing that we're forced to deal with in our lives. And it might sound silly, like, oh, what a like kind of privileged problem to have to be worrying about social media. But it's just a different version of what people have been doing for the entire existence of the planet, where you're comparing yourself to somebody else's life based on what you're seeing, except now you're just constantly being inundated
by
that.
It's in your face all the time.
Yeah.
If you're on there, like, you know, everybody, it's so much easier to see that and to hold yourself to other people's standards or like social media standards all the time.
Yeah
no, it is like a new thing, and it's, I don't know, like, it is serious. Like, it fucks people up. Like, it like causes legit depression in some people.
Yeah. And I guess I really don't have a bunch of uglies other than that. Uglies. Mm-hmm. God, I'm so glad the break is over this week. Dracula.
Oh, okay. Oh, they've been on break?
Yeah, for the holidays.
Oh, shit. It's not like a live show. Like, they record that shit in real time. Or, like, beforehand.
I know.
Whatever.
Okay, anyway.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, the whole poaching thing that I am big on, like, the anti-animal cruelty stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes me really sad watching that stuff. So I like that we had the message in it, but it is a very ugly thing that does actually really exist. And it's so gross that people will spend like all of this money to just go like, oh, I want, first of all, I don't understand hunting in general. I just don't. I'm not knocking hunters. I know some people go out and do it for food. That's one thing.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But for like sport, just to kill something just for the hell of it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really understand that.
No,
And I really, really don't, because I feel like when it gets to a certain point where it's like exotic animals like that, it is just an ostentatious display of wealth in a disgusting kind of way.
It's also really upsetting when you realize that they're supposed to be giving alpha medication to just keep them like mellowed out and just like zombie-like, where they can't be their natural self.
Yeah, and, like, that's really upsetting, too, because, like, we don't even know what this medication is. Is it basically a tranquilizer, or is it something that's meant to, like, ease the transition? But given what we know, the fact that it's a poacher, it's definitely meant to be a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
You know, you and I were talking about this on New Year's Eve. We had to give Talia sedatives because people were setting off fireworks, and we felt so guilty having to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, for us, it was just like anxiety medication for her, which also makes her sleepy. But, you know, like
if we had to do that all the time because she was like plucked out of her home environment and was rightfully fucking stressed out about it, that's upsetting.
Yeah, well, we kind of had that happen last year when she was recovering from her surgery. She was like, you know, sedated for an entire month straight.
Yeah, but we had to do that because of, you know, the circumstances.
That's a different thing. But, like, you know, that it would be like having her like that for an entire month. And, you know, like, it's not right. It's not cool.
Yeah, it's not like we weren't doing it just for fun or just for the flex of it or just to make money.
It's because she would be in a lot of pain if she did not.
Yeah, it's because she would bluntly, she would have starved to death if we hadn't done the surgery.
That too, yeah, yeah.
So we had to do the surgery, and you can't really explain it in English terms to a dog, so we give her medication so it doesn't hurt.
Oh, a different approach. Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, so I honestly, for such a silly movie, it does tackle a lot of very serious things.
That's impressive, honestly, yeah, that they can like have that kind of message in a movie called mm-hmm. Slaughterhouse. Okay, absurd. Boy, where do we start?
Okay, Alpha driving, Alpha doing the social media.
Yeah, I mean, I love that they don't try making Alpha look real or like not trying to make it look good. They just lean so heavily into it being a puppet.
Like Alpha reading through the computer.
Yeah, I got one that's not related to Alpha.
Okay.
Miss May could be a PSA commercial.
Oh, Miss May is so sad.
She is so fucking sad.
Can we add Miss May's storyline to the Uglies?
Yeah, she's, yeah.
Because that's another thing of like the whole comparing yourself to other people. And she never moved past that.
One of the other comparisons that I was thinking of for this was Scream Queens, because she reminded me of Gigi. Because she's also like, because her profile thing was like she was diagnosed with age dysmorphia. So like, she also, is that the right term?
I don't know that that's a
age dysmorphia thing. I don't know. Like, it was like a thing in the
movie. I felt kind of questionable about that.
Was that was language. What it said in there, though,
yeah,
right?
It is what okay. It said. I felt questionable about that language. I don't know that I love that.
She like, well, the thing in Scream Queens, she like suffered something traumatic. So she's like stuck in that age.
Mm-hmm.
And like the same type of thing happened with Miss May in this movie.
I feel like that's one of those types of things where people try and take like an actual thing and repurpose it in a cutesy way to like explain away their quirks. Like how people love to say that they're just so totally OCD, and it's like, you're not.
No, it's not like yeah, OCD is like a really fucked up
and
thing.
Be like, I'm just like, I'm really a 20-year-old at heart. Like, that's kind of what it feels like she's doing, like trying to compare it to being like a trans person, and that's fucking gross.
Yeah.
Because that's not the same kind of thing.
No, no, no.
Not, it's not anywhere near. And it trivializes what people actually go through
yeah.
when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. But she's just such a sad character in this movie.
She's a sad character. Although I will say that is probably one of the funniest scenes is like her deathbed confession to Emily. And Emily's like, wait, you thought we would just nominate you for House President? Yeah.
Like without saying anything, you just thought that one day we would just do it? Yeah, that's the scene. That's the commercial. That's the PSA commercial. That entire scene. Somebody's dying on their deathbed. Like, yeah, like I fucked up my life. I was trying to chase my college days, and I was really hoping you guys would elect me for president.
Okay, you know what? If we're going to draw comparisons to other movies, like Katie Lanigan said, very Mean Girls. Speaking of Mean Girls, Katie spells her name the same way Katie does.
Mm.
Katie. She's very much Regina George's mom. Like, you girls keep me young. And like, she's like... Yeah. Always like trying to sneak into the prom pictures and doing the dance with them.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Did you have anything absurd that you wanted to pick?
I mean, like all of the above, I guess.
The whole thing, the whole movie.
Yeah, the whole movie, but like in the best fucking kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much fun.
It's fun absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I will also add the moment at the end that we based our like opening of this episode on, where like Emily decides that she's gonna go back for Brianna, and Tyler's like, you can't go back in there. It's a slaughterhouse. And he's so proud of this stupid pun. And Zenny, Maddie, and Emily are like, dude, this is not the right time. Like, people are dead, Tyler.
It's like, yeah, you know, you get it? Like, a swath, you know? Like, you know, people. I love it when a movie just, like, does something so blatant like that.
And because, you know, obviously we love the thing where the title of the movie is said in the movie. And we never in a million years expected that would happen with this movie. So it was an extra great surprise when it did happen.
I think that's on us for not expecting that. Of course, this movie would do that with everything else that it's doing.
That's true. That's true. And that's fair. But like, that was just one that I didn't even consider that they would find a way to work that in.
Yeah.
And then they did. And it felt like organic in the universe of this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with him being called out like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So time to rate it.
What are you giving it?
Okay, out of 10, what do I give Slaughterhouse? I like it. I think it's a pretty fun little movie. I think I'd give it like a 7.5.
7.5?
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 9.
Ooh, boy, 9.
I fucking love this movie. I have such a good time. Look, these are subjective ratings, and we say it all the time, and this one's going on a gut for me. I have a really fun time with it, so. Yeah,
it's a fun movie. Honestly, I was thinking that last night. Like, I have fun watching this. Like, it's a good movie to watch. This, you know.
Yeah.
But 7.5 feels good for me.
So we have a starting average of 8.25.
Okay. That's like double the IMDb score, yeah. Right there. Okay.
Okay. You so, ready to talk about it?
Let's do it.
So we start off at Darien Gap, Panama. There is a sloth mewling and grunting and reaching for flowers on a log.
Ah, I like this, and I feel like this could be like an opening to the book, the novelization of Slaughterhouse, if they ever choose to do so. But my opening note says, Darien Gap, Panama, a sloth snuffles along a tree branch. I don't know, because like the quote, like the subtitle says it was snuffling.
It also said mewling and grunting. I guess I was writing that down and I'm just snuffling.
Okay.
They had a lot of really good captions. They did, for this one.
No yells, but snuffling. Yeah. All that's fine.
She is grabbed by a crocodile and pulled into the water. But she crawls out. She's fucking pissed.
I love this because like the sloth gets snatched and then underwater you see like blood rise to the top, but then the sloth just comes out and emerges victorious.
Mm-hmm. She killed that crocodile. Yeah. But then she gets shot by a tranquilizer dart by a poacher, and that's sad.
Yep. And then we get the title card and we go over to two girls at the mall.
Yep.
It's Emmers and Maddie.
They are reminiscing about their freshman year. That was them 4 years ago, so now we know they're seniors.
And this is the beginning of all kinds of social media exposition.
You got all the info. I wrote down all of the information for all of these women except for the one lone rush pledge that one, gets the...
They don't even like come back later, I don't think.
I think she's like briefly back in the trust shower scene.
Oh, okay. Okay, so all right, share with us. What's the bio for these two people here?
Okay. Well, we start cutting to it because we see Emily watching Brianna's sorority president video on social media.
She's running for re-election.
We learn that she's Emily, aka Emmers. Hmm. She dreams of being house president and suffers from FOMO. She has 824 followers.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's a decent amount.
Yeah.
Madison, she goes by Maddie online. She wants to save the world and is a chill girl that's actually chill. She has 563 followers, but she probably doesn't know that number off the top of her head.
She probably doesn't even check. Yeah. She's probably one of those people that doesn't really use social media. She just has one.
Yeah. She says that people like the content, but not the creators. It's deep. It's
very deep. That her thing is, like, she says she's chill, but she's actually chill.
Yeah.
Honestly, she doesn't really have a lot of chill in this movie.
Well, she's like, she's not going to let her friends go on their bullshit, you know?
That's true. Yeah, she stands for what she believes in.
Yeah.
They just don't give her an opportunity to be chill.
So there's a kid on a toy car going wild. There's a person with a dog who is also going wild. We're in a mall, so why is all of this wild and out happening? I don't know. But either way, Emily decides she's going to save the dog from being hit by this little toy car.
This is so ridiculous. The dog and the kid are like playing a game of chicken or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kid knows he's going to hit this dog. This dog knows that he's about to get hit by this kid in the car. So it reminds me of when we go to the mall and you got those guys with the little remote control RCs.
Fuck those guys. They're so rude.
They are. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But she saves it.
Yeah. She saves it. And Oliver's there and he goes, oh, dog lover. And Emily says, yeah, fuck people.
I never caught his actual name. I just wrote him down as O Exotic the entire time because that's his handle.
Yeah. The O stands for Oliver.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I don't know where I picked that up, but at some point I was referring to him as Oliver.
Yeah.
So he takes a picture of her, him, and the dog, Gracie.
The dog then pees all over him.
Yeah. And she posts it, and he says, if that photo goes viral, I want credit. I'm O Exotic. I forget exactly what she says, but they kind of start talking about how people love seeing cute little animals on social media, especially like the more exotic ones. And he's like, you know, maybe if you can't adopt a cute little puppy, you could think about a different furry friend.
Like a sloth, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he gives her her card, or his card.
And she's like looking at the photos of it, and she's like, oh, are they really that slow? And he goes, maybe they act that slow as a trick.
Is that actual thing? Like, are sloths actually faster than people give them credit for?
I have no fucking clue.
Because, like, really all I know is that they are slow. I didn't fact check this. Okay.
I did not fact check this one bit.
Okie dokie.
So we cut to move-in day. We see Brianna pull up. She is Queen Brianline, current house president or dictator, Travel Channel rich, 32,864 followers.
Boy.
She's mean to a girl in a beret. Her name is Dakota, but online she's Dakota Paris. She's Brianna's follower in real life since kindergarten. Went to Paris one time and has worn a beret ever since. Has 2201 followers. Brianna is mean to her because she says that she should be passing out flyers. And Dakota's like, you never gave me flyers to pass out. And she goes, they're on my social media.
Yeah, so just print them off, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, listen, you need to go pay attention to the initiative Morgan has. She is the worst, but we're going to be BFFs this year. So when she goes over to Morgan, we learn that she is Mo for show, tries to be fashionable, always fails, Brianna's BFF, or so she tells people. Oh, I didn't write down how many followers she has. It was like 100-something. It was a very low number.
Was it really?
Yeah. Brianna is asking if, like, everything is in order because this is historic. She would be the first to be elected president 3 years in a row. And she asks what the current count is, but because she's running unopposed, Gabby never did, like, any kind of canvassing for that.
Yeah. See, there's so much happening in the opening of this. Like, you get the on-screen. It's
very front heavy.
Yeah, you get the, like, the social media exposition of, like, you know, establishing these characters for you. And then also all this talk about her wanting to run for re-election and all of, like, the new people moving in. It's just so chaotic. Yeah.
So Gabby, the campaign manager, she's Gabba Dabba Doo, Brianna's campaign manager, ambitious Benedict Arnold in a miniskirt, 8,953 followers. So inside, somebody is setting up a giant banner version of Brianna's poster that has president misspelled.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a funny thing.
That is funny. Yeah, especially because she's one that misspelled president.
Yeah. So the person setting it up is Chloe, a.k.a. Clo for show. Brianna's general in Daisy Dukes has more clothes than opinions, 9,344 followers. Zenny passes by, makes a comment about president being misspelled and says, oh, are you getting ready to graduate from college, Brianna? See, that's what I mean. Like, Zenny has some really good moments. I think just overall her character isn't fleshed out enough to be like a main supporting character. That's what I'm saying. Is.
Like small doses, I could handle it. But yeah, okay.
She is ultimate Zen. Jiu-jitsu wins 13. F's given 0. Join the sorority on a dare. 2,221 followers. And see, that's another thing that I mean. She's like, she could be a really good bro-y girl, but I think they try and make her too hard to seem like a dude instead of just letting her be a person that has these interests.
Yeah.
That's what I think rubs me wrong about it.
That could be that could be part of it right there.
Okay. We see a blonde woman named Sarah, but online she is S. Nellen. Total closer, new boyfriend every semester, 4,672 followers. The house mother's there. She's got snacks. It's mostly just vegetables. And she's also got a dirty martini.
Got like 88 followers or something like that.
Yes, it is 88 followers. She is Miss May. Her Instagram handle is maybe next.
That was her hit right there. Maybe next president.
She's the sorority house mother, martini breakfast queen. And then, like I said, the questionable diagnosed age dysmorphia.
Yeah,
line.
Yeah.
Brianna bosses around Alyssa. Alyssa explains it all. Love that username. She is definitely from our era. She watched some Clarissa growing up.
Wait, what was her name again?
Alyssa explains it all.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Has pretty privilege, supermodel with self-confidence of a cosplayer. Thanks, Dad. Unsure if she can actually speak. 1,700 followers. Let's see. Emily has a moment upstairs with Maddie and Sunny. They've been best friends since they were freshmen, and they're looking forward to their senior year, although Emily is still, like, staring wistfully at the presidential suite. Yeah. And Maddie's like, listen, you don't need that stress. Like, we can just have fun just, like, doing our own thing. Brianna's going to win anyway because she's meaner than you.
Mm-hmm. So she goes into her room to move in, and she is surprised by Tyler, who mm-hmm. snuck up on her. He climbed into the room through the window because he thought it would be romantic.
Yeah, and she goes full Bobby Hill on him. That's my person. I don't know you.
She beats the shit out of him.
And then she realizes she does know him, but it's like moments before Zenny kills him because she's ready to help her out when she hears the screaming.
With the fucking sword?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was ready to go full on killer mode right there.
He is Ty the bro guy, Emily's boyfriend, likes rock climbing, dislikes getting kicked in the nuts, 815 followers. He climbed through the window because he thought it would be romantic. I swear, did I mishear this or did she say, okay, Billy?
I didn't hear that.
I swear I thought I heard her say that. And I was like, did we just get a fucking Scream reference?
Dude, maybe. That would be interesting.
So I kind of want to like go back and double check that scene.
Yeah.
Okay, so Emily is outside. She is looking at past president, or she's looking at like an old composite of the sorority from when her mother was in there, and her mother was house president. And Miss May comes by and starts listing people that have had crowns, because apparently in this sorority, if you're the house president, you get a tiara.
Yeah, you know, why? It's a good touch. I don't know. Like, it makes you feel special, right?
It does. It does. So she starts just like listing people that have crowns, but most of them are just like Disney princesses. And then Emily's like, what kind of a president was my mom? And Miss May like keeps getting distracted because she's drunk and rambling. But she does say that Emily's mother was a kind president.
She's like, oh, you mean was she like a Brie?
Yeah, basically, she was like, we haven't had kindness in a while. And Emily's like, yeah, we won't until next year, probably. And Gabby overhears all of this.
Yeah, because Miss May is trying to encourage her. She's like, you know, people don't regret trying. So maybe it's worth at least giving it a shot.
I also need to point out that Emily's mother may be kind, but also definitely blinded by her own privilege, because one of the philanthropy event she set up was a 24-hour hugathon to raise money for the homeless, but they ended up just buying sandwiches instead because
the ladies were throwing up because of the smell, which made things even more smelly,
which is also kind of gross, but it's also like a gross way to talk about homeless people in general, but also like what were they really hoping to accomplish with the hugathon?
Yeah, I understand where you're at with that, like where you wanted to be with it, but that's just such a, like, I don't feel comfortable with strangers coming up and hugging me. And
right.
That also kind of feels like you're
pandering.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, I need a hug right now. No, I actually need like a home. Like,
yeah. Or what they ended up doing, which was buying food.
Yeah. Or some food.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is all just the first 13 minutes of the movie, by the way. I made a note. You were like, write down how much, because I was already on almost onto my second sheet of paper.
Because Talia also had to go out at this point. She's like, Jesus Christ, I'm exhausted. I need to go.
So Oliver is in his mansion online selling his exotic animals. He is mean to a little drugged up sloth, throwing shit at her cage. And he's like, I wonder what would happen if I don't give you these pills.
You about to find out, buddy.
And gets a message from Emily saying that she does actually want to come get the sloth. And he tells her to come by in the morning, just knock, he'll be here.
Yeah, it's because Emily is on her phone looking at other people's posts and she's feeling sad because nobody likes her. So she's like, you know what? I'll get me a sloth because people will probably like me if I have a sloth. That makes sense, right?
So Oliver goes over, opens the cage and decides he's going to take the sloth on a little walk around the house, which is a fun thing to do sometimes. We do that with the cats.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
Like, hey, do you want to see the house from five feet higher than you normally do?
How about down here? No, up here? You want to see through this window?
And you know what, though? They really do appreciate that. They like the new perspective, you know, every once in a while.
This reminds me of a thing that I used to do. Okay, I used to have a little toy poodle. His name was Buddy. He was the best fucking dog. And whenever I would have my friends over, I would show them, I'd be like, this is what I do with my dog.
Oh, I know what you're going to
do. So I would just, I would pick him up and I would just take him and I would put him on a shelf, or I'd put him like in a bookcase and just let him stand there for a minute. That way he could appreciate what it would be like to be on this shelf or in a bookcase. And they thought it was amusing. I thought it was amusing. Buddy loved it.
Yeah.
So like that, do that to your pets. If you have a small pet, just give them a new perspective on life right there.
Yeah.
That's the end of my thing.
We move our cat tree around every so often just because they like a new location. They fucking lose their minds when we move the cat tree. Usually our Christmas tree goes where it is right now.
Yeah.
So when we move it for Christmas, they're like, fuck yeah!
Whoa, yeah, new.
This is insane! Like, oh, they pay so much attention to that, to the cat tree during December.
They really do. It will change their life.
Anyway, we get some squelching because Alpha doesn't appreciate the new perspective.
No.
Her new perspective is freedom.
Yes, exactly. She just straight up swathers.
Ha! So Emily arrives in the morning. She knocks but doesn't get an answer, so she just comes on in.
Horror movie trope.
Yes, don't do that shit. Exactly. It seems abandoned, and then she sees the pills scattered all over the floor, and she's like, oh, what's this? Which, how did she get the pills later on in the movie? Were scattered on the floor.
That's a plot hole, yeah, right there. How did that happen?
Bit, yeah, a little bit.
Because, yeah, they are scattered all over the floor.
She sees the sloth, and she's like, oh, hey, little girl, picks her up, and then all of a sudden there's a growling and the silhouette of a big cat, and she's like, ah, we're gonna go.
Yep, so they just skedaddle.
So Bree is walking towards the house and somebody tries to introduce her to one of the pledges and she doesn't care until the person is like, her dad is a circuit court judge, very much state senator vibes.
Mm-hmm. yeah. And network right there. Network opportunity.
Yeah.
So she goes inside the house and Emmer's also arrives in there and she's trying to sneak.
Before Emily gets there, Gabby tells her about Emily potentially wanting to run for president. So when Emily arrives, Brianna decides that she's going to confront her.
That's it, yeah.
And she's confronting her when she's like up the stairs and she's got Alpha in this box. They haven't named Alpha yet, but that's what we're
I've just wrote Alpha the entire time.
And so they start fighting over the box and Brianna basically pulls it out of her hands and throws it down the stairs. So Emily freaks out because it's like a fucking living creature in there.
Yeah, well, she didn't know that, but like whenever it falls, she's like, oops.
Well, that's why you don't throw people's shit, because you don't know what's inside of it.
Exactly. But she still shows no remorse whenever Alpha pops his or her little head out of the box and everybody else is like just fawning over the sloth.
Yes. And she's like, well, too bad you can't have pets in this house. And Emily's like, well, actually, there's like some bylaw that says we can have a pet if they are acting as the house mascot, if it's called to a vote. And Sarah, very enamored by Zenny, supporting her girl, mm-hmm. girls supporting girls. She is like, I would like to call this to a vote. Let's make the weird bear thing our new mascot.
Alyssa is the one that seconds it.
Is it Alyssa? I thought it was Sarah.
No. Yeah, it is Sarah. You're right. Okay. Sarah. Sarah's the one that seconds it.
Yeah, because that's why she ends up being the one Bree tells
that's
to.
That's right. Yeah.
She seconds it. They all vote yes, except for Bree and Alyssa. Alyssa's the one that votes no.
Yeah.
So she becomes the new mascot. And then Emily also takes this moment to announce that she is campaigning for House President as well.
Good time right there. That's politics, baby.
That is politics. You know what? Couldn't have PR'd that better myself.
Couldn't have peed it better myself.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. Okay.
You're not sorry.
So Emmer's goes up into
People are dead, Travis.
Emily goes up to her room and is just kind of chilling with Alpha. Maddie comes in there, is like, okay, so like you're not really serious about this, right?
Like you have a fucking understand sloth. That's a poached animal, right? How much did you pay?
Yeah, it's like an exotic animal, yeah. And she's like, oh, I didn't pay. She's like, oh, Emily, like that's the things people worse. Do.
She's like, you really need to take her to a sanctuary or something. Like, you don't know how to take care of her. What does she eat? And Alpha's like sitting there eating the flower.
Where the fuck did that come from? In the house?
Somewhere.
I guess, yeah.
And Emily's like, well, it looks like she eats flowers. And Maddie's like, that might be toxic to her. Because you know what? Having been a lifelong pet owner, I can tell you, just because an animal is eating something doesn't mean that it should be.
In fact, animals eat a lot of shit. They eat just about anything you present in front of them. So, you know.
You know Talia's favorite snack right now? Dirt.
She loves dirt. Honestly, she does. Like, I'll have to, like, go back behind the house and make her stop eating dirt some days. I'm sorry, Talia, that we're telling people this, but it's the truth.
It's got to be said.
It's a point.
So, Brianna tells Sarah that she is responsible for getting rid of the sloth since she seconded the vote. Zenny comes in and has a little pep talk with Emily because she says that people are really excited about Alpha. So they started a hashtag Rush Sloth. And she's like, you know, you could get really rich off of social media with this. Yeah, like, you'd be like an insane. Influencer. Think about what you could do for Alpha with all of that money. Like, she'd be, you know, out in the jungle. She's the beta. She's being hunted. But here she could be the Alpha. And then they're like, oh,
Alpha. And then that's when Sarah comes in and is like, hey, there's like a lot of people interested in this, excited about Alpha and you.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of people out front right now that are really wanting to rush the sorority now.
Mm-hmm. So that night is the mixer slash party. Emily comes into her room and her laptop's open with an article about Oliver's death and a post-it saying, take her home. I just want to say, Emily is not anywhere near upset enough about having been in a dead man's home earlier. This person that she had spoken to has been potentially murdered, as far as the article knows.
It was a grim scene in there, yeah, too. Like, yeah.
And Emily's like, all right, time for your anti-anxiety meds that I inexplicably have. Oh,
yeah. That, Zinni also gave that to her. She's like, yeah, by the way, in the box down there's some pills here. I don't know what they do exactly, but it seems like Alpha might need them.
So she wraps the pill in the leaf. You know, Emily has had pets before. Mm-hmm. Gives it to her. And she said, you've got a family here, Alpha. And she walks out to do the to get ready for the mixer. Alpha sees the article on the laptop. And then she scrolls through Emily's Instagram. And she looks like she's kind of like endeared by all of these photos of Emily with her friends at first. Like, okay, yeah, maybe they will be my family.
That's the thing about this. It's like the Alpha didn't get on the computer for like any reason to like research anything. She just got on there because she just wanted to browse the internet.
She wanted to know. She was like, cool, glad Oliver's taken care of. Let me learn about my new family. And then, oh.
No, she's cool with this guy. She likes, you know, she bought me. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And then, like,
we're saying that, like, she's, like, super disappointed. She's, like, disappointed, not mad.
But no, really, she's mad.
Alpha slams the laptop.
We're getting the Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Like,
does, like, the closest thing to a scream that a sloth can do.
Yeah. So Emily brings Alpha to the mixer and everybody's super excited to see her. Gabby and Sarah say that everybody wants to meet Emily, and Sarah offers to take Alpha, watch her. Tyler's like, a sloth stole my girlfriend.
Yeah, he angrily chuds.
Like, why is he here? This is like a Rush mixer.
Why is he here? He was trying to like be supportive to
why
her.
Why are you here, Tyler?
Because he likes the sloth too. He wants to rush also.
Sarah sets Alpha outside in the rain, and she says, sorry, but it's you or me.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
And you can tell Sarah actually does like the sloth.
Yeah.
She's the one that seconded it, you know? Like,
well, and we're going to bring it back to the Mean Girls again. You know, Gretchen knew it was better being in the plastics, hating life, than not being in at all.
Yeah, but this is where we get that little sad shot of Alpha just sitting in the rain and
starts to
storm.
Yeah, she's like hunched over and head drooping.
You feel bad, but then you see her just start to crawl slowly. So she is slow in this moment back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a pizza driver that's coming by and almost hits Alpha.
But doesn't.
Stops the car.
He gets out of the car, goes to look for her, and she's already gone.
Yeah.
So maybe she got
fast
there. Yeah, definitely does move fast. Yeah. Sarah inside gets a drink spilled on her, so this is the perfect opportunity to take another boy that's inexplicably at this Rush mixer upstairs.
She just like looks around, she's like, you. And they just go.
So they go upstairs. She leaves him in a room so she can go change. And while she's in there, she sets down her drink. Alpha drops a bunch of pills in there.
I'm assuming it's probably the tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming it's definitely Alpha's quote-unquote anti-anxiety meds.
Yeah, because she takes one drink from that and then immediately collapses to the ground. And this is where we get those lightning strikes.
Yeah.
Where
it's
Alpha's
like
just
Alpha's
moving
up
around
on the loft and then the lightning strikes on the ladder. Lightning strikes right in front of her.
Yeah, it's
such
so
a good move.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And then Alpha just slashes her.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
The mixer ends because the power goes out during this storm, and Brianna tells Emily that Alpha is outside. Oops.
Judy.
That's the moment
right
where
there.
I was like, Judy.
Yep.
So Emily goes outside to look for her. She's actually really distraught. I think it's a mixture of like not wanting to lose her campaign, but also like maybe she does care about Alpha.
Yeah.
When she gets upstairs, she's drenched and she finds Alf and she goes, oh, you are faster than people think.
Yeah, she's like, how the hell did you get up here? No worries. So now we get a little montage of Emily becoming popular among everybody. Alpha kind of blending in and being a good little mascot.
Yeah, everybody's so excited. Like, they're playing house dodgeball and Alpha's a referee with Miss May.
I like that. That's funny. And there's like a ball of that. It's about to go and hit Alpha, but she catches it and just deflates the ball and everybody cheers.
Speaking of Buddy, I want to tell the story about when we were blowing up balloons for your sister's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And we hit one over towards the couch where he was laying. And he tensed up so hard waiting for it to hit him. And it was such a long moment before it hit him. And then when it did, he just goes, "Erf."
It was just the softest little bounce. It just hit his little body and just like he was expecting it to be so much. He's not like Alpha, man. He's just like, death's coming. I'm about to get crushed.
He has so much time to move. It's like the Zamboni does in Austin Powers.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. But also a part of this dodgeball game
is text chains going like, where the fuck is Ashley? Where the fuck is Sarah? What about Teresa, Laura, Hannah? And then we're seeing like all of their deaths. Like one is getting like zipped up and beat up in a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
The creators of this movie definitely love Sleepaway Camp because they show a curling iron.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. I missed that. Yeah.
They show a curling iron. And I was like, that can't. Between like Brianna's very obvious Judy moment. And then this curling iron, that has to be intentional.
It's so cool. Oh, and also, fuck, what's her name? Bree, she also falls and eats shit. Eat shit and live.
She did eat shit and live.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This thing goes deep.
Yeah, so she eats sloth shit. She like falls face first into the ground and then Emily also tags her out. And then everybody just cheers.
It's such like stereotypical high school politics type stuff, but it's in college.
Yeah.
So Maddie is looking at a picture from their freshman year. Brianna apparently was a part of their little friendship trio. It was a quartet back in the day. Alpha
just chilling.
And Zenny are laying by the pool. Alpha
got like a nice little hat, shades on.
She's in a cute little sun hat and a little dress and has sun shades on. And she like just pops open a beer.
And chugs it.
I want to party with Alpha.
Dude, Arfa.
That's her drunk persona. Like Dave is Darf.
Yeah, this is Arfa right here because like she just chugged that beer. And she's so tiny. That's got to have like a big impact on her.
Yeah, what is her VAC after that beer?
What's the ABV on that beer? It's got to be high.
Yeah, it had like a special name. Zenny seemed pissed that was the last one being drunk. So she asked Maddie to watch Alpha so she can go in and get another beer. And Maddie's like, all right, we're going to the shelter, little girl.
Yep, so she just snatches up Alpha and tries to go take her away, but Emily catches her and tries to confront her and be like, hey, that's my fucking sloth, yo.
Yeah, and then this is where it becomes very obvious that Emily doesn't actually give a shit about Alpha as, like, another living creature and just as a campaign tool. She was like, I need it!
I do.
And, like, refers to her as it.
Yeah, I love how Maddie calls her out on it and is just being very upfront. Like, hey, you just really care about being popular right now. It's kind of shitty. I'm doing the right thing if you aren't going to be able to do the right thing yourself.
Yeah.
And then
during all of this, Alpha has reached into Maddie's pocket and pulled out her phone.
And tosses it.
And then just tosses it in the street. And Maddie goes to pick it up and does that thing that like we've all done in the middle of an argument where like you're in the middle of a normal task and you stop, turn to say something, except then she gets Regina Georged.
I was thinking more Final Destination.
There is that.
Yeah, but it could be Regina George if it's Mean Girls inspired. Yeah, she just like gets hit by a car out of nowhere. It comes out of nowhere. It's so unexpected the first time you watch it.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we watched this, I was like getting a drink, so I missed it. And I just like heard you in the living room go, oh!
Was I that deep too?
Yeah. It was exactly
like that. Oh!
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, so we do see her being loaded into an ambulance, so we know that she didn't die. Emily goes with her to the hospital.
Well, it was nice for her to at least go with her.
Yeah. We do know that the election is happening that night, so the countdown is kind of on. Mm-hmm. This is what I mean, where we don't have special effects makeup artists, we just have regular makeup artists. This is a good example of that, because the bruising on her face isn't...
It's just like a giant bruise.
Super finessed. It's just like... some brown eyeshadow splotched around her.
It's like a little bit of like purple too.
But you know, they kind of talk, and Emily apologizes, and she's like, "You and Zenny have always known who you are, and I don't know who I am, and we're getting ready to graduate, and I'm terrified, and I just wanted something to, you know."
You say you like talk, but like really, Maddie can't really speak right now. She's on oxygen.
Maddie's on so many drugs right now. Yeah, she's in the tiniest oxygen mask I have ever seen. Like, it is so tiny. Like, she has to like be scrunching up her mouth for it to fit.
Purse her lips.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So Emily says that she's going to take Alpha to Sanctuary tomorrow, and Maddie tells her to go to the election.
Yeah, go do it.
Which is starting in like half an hour, so she's got to speed back. Dakota.
Oh, we get like another sad scene of Miss May looking at her past.
Yeah.
More of the PSA right here. And don't be Miss May. Move on.
So Dakota's crying in bed, and Alpha enters. Meanwhile, Alyssa is getting ready in the bathroom, and the door creaks open, and when she goes to investigate, sees nothing, but when she goes back to the shower, Alpha's in there! So
then we get...
We presumably just got two deaths.
Two deaths, yeah. Off screen.
They will be confirmed later.
They will, yes. Yeah. So, election night, Emily arrives at the very last minute.
Mm-hmm. They've all dropped their phones into bowls, mm-hmm. Except for Emily, who has left hers upstairs in her room. They're each supposed to take a flower. If they drop a white one, then it's a vote for Emily. And if they drop a... Wait, do I have that right?
I think it's the other way around.
White for Brianna, pink for Emily. That's right. Upstairs, Alpha takes Emily's phone, which still has the GPS open, to the hospital. And then she takes... Emily's car.
I know, she grabs the keys and then gets in there like it's so fucking stupid.
This is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So Emily ends up winning the election. Gabby gives this whole speech about like what their lock-in night resembles and like all of their ritual mm-hmm. information and stuff like that. And she's basically taking a stand and saying that she stands with kindness, and that's what Emily is meant to represent. And then Emily wins the election, so they're all having a party. And then like this party is intercut with pictures of Alpha driving the Mustang to the hostel, jamming, having a good time.
Yeah. I couldn't tell at first. Like, I thought that maybe it was Alpha turning on the music in the car, but then it also cuts into the party of like the after party of mm-hmm. the election. But yeah, no, Alpha is just like fucking driving. It's a nice car.
She's having a fun time. One point, she slams on the brakes at a red light.
Oh yeah, yeah, she actually stops at the red light. Yeah, yeah. But she gets caught for speeding because the cops start telling her.
Well, you say she gets caught, but the cop doesn't actually get her to stop until they're at the hospital, and by that point she's already gotten out of the car.
So fast.
So Alpha unplugs Madison's equipment, mm-hmm. so Madison can't call for help. She can't breathe. What are her injuries?
I have no idea.
I feel like that's probably none of this makes any sense in terms of like actual anatomy and medicine, but we're not gonna worry about it.
I think that it just like make her look like she's hurt.
Yeah,
so that's what they did.
She takes a selfie with her and posts it to her Instagram, which is killer sloth. Yeah.
I like, because you think she's about to just stab her, but she just slowly pulls out the phone and takes a selfie.
And then she's like, who should I kill next? Hashtag killer sloth. And then she smothers her with a pillow, except a doctor walks in, doesn't see Alpha. Alpha is hidden underneath the bed, and she calls code blue.
Yeah.
So Brianna goes upstairs to yell at Alyssa and then finds her dead instead. Emily is also going to check on Alyssa because she never showed up to the election night.
Well, she also walks out into the hallway and just hears a bunch of screaming, which is Bri up there screaming. Well, that's what I'm saying.
She walked away from the party to go check on Alyssa and then hears Brianna screaming. And when she gets up there, Brianna's screaming because she's being attacked by Alpha. So,
Emily just smacks Alpha off of her.
Yep.
So your fucking sloth is trying to kill me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're doing the trust shower downstairs, mm-hmm. Which is, yes, it's hazing, but it's also one of those, like, it seems like they don't actually do anything that's going to hurt them. They don't scald the water because they're like, do you trust us not to burn you, sister? And she says, yes. And she says, do you trust us not to make you freeze? And she said, that a little less. And they all giggle. And it's just like, she just walks through a locker room shower and some of the water's cold. Like,
yeah. No, that's it.
That's it. That's the end of it. It's a silly, stupid thing that apparently they do, so.
So they are up, Bri and Emily are upstairs.
They lock themselves in Alyssa's bathroom.
They decide to go to Dakota's room because Dakota's dad is like a super big gun guy,
apparently. Yeah, he's like a card-carrying member of the IRA or something.
Something, whatever.
That.
Is no, it? I know.
Okay.
I'm playing off of it.
Okay. I just say, like, because that's one of the great things about this movie is lines like that just delivered so, like,
so matter of fact.
Yes.
Yeah, just like, so straight.
Like, no, it's like ESPN or something.
Yeah.
So when they like have stuff ready, like his weapons or whatever. So they leave the bathroom and then Alpha does like the Bond villain turnaround in the chair.
Yeah.
Brianna immediately goes and hides and Alpha and Emily fight.
Oh yeah. Emily is equipped with the toilet seat lid, which is an effective weapon.
It really is.
And as soon as Alpha lunges for her,
if the Saw franchise has taught us anything.
Exactly, yeah. You can crush your foot with it, and you can crush a sloth with it, and which is what she does. She hits Alpha through the window, and this is very much a Halloween callback.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's a shot of Alpha laying in the glass, in the grass, and she looks away and then looks back, and Alpha's disappeared.
She can't get Brianna to come out, so she decides she's going to go to Dakota's room and look for the gun, which she does find in her underwear drawer because apparently that's the only place people are allowed to legally keep their guns.
Yes.
And she also unfortunately finds Dakota's body.
Mm-hmm.
She died in her beret, which I think, if she had any kind of plans for how she was going to die, the beret was definitely part of it.
Yeah.
Alpha messes with the water temperature. This is evil.
This is evil. Yeah, she like dials it all the way up to like the hottest temperature.
Like she does it like in like the water heater itself.
Yeah.
So she does that. The girls that are in the water stream like obviously jump out of the way because they're being scalded. And so a bunch of girls fall on the floor. There's water everywhere. And Alpha cuts a cord and drops it in there and they all electrocute.
Yeah.
Man, two movies in a row that we've had this bit. Because that happened in The Collector.
Oh, fuck. You're right.
Yeah, except Larry.
Nobody died. Never mind. Nobody died.
A few people die in this one.
Yeah. Nobody dies. Larry's a nobody.
Yeah, that's true. That is actually accurate. So Bree manages to get... Or no, this isn't Bree. This is Emily. Why did I write Bree? Emily manages to get downstairs, and she runs into a couple of the girls that are panicking, saying Alpha's going crazy and killing them. They end up actually getting killed right in front of Emily's eyes. Emily drops the gun, and when she tries to go for it, she gets attacked by Alpha. So she gets away, goes upstairs, and is hiding in her room, and Alpha's working on like bashing the door open.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Miss May is in her room. She drunkenly reaches over for her drink, knocks it into the bowl full of cell phones. Miss May, why do they even give her the phones?
Yeah, I don't know. And honestly, like, I get that this is just to make phones obsolete, but they were already like out of the equation.
There was already so much chaos. Like, yeah. And it's not like anybody ever goes looking for the phones.
No, they're like, hey, let's get our gun. Not like, hey, let's go get our phone.
So Alpha, instead of immediately coming into Emily's room, drops the phone in there, and that's where Emily sees the Killer Sloth account and sees that Maddie was one of the people, and she's freaking out. Yeah. Then she hears Miss May, because Miss May has woken up. She has found blood downstairs and some of the bodies, and then Alpha comes up, and Miss May thinks Alpha's just one of the victims of whatever this attack is, and she gets attacked as well. She grabs a paddle, fucking hits her.
I love how like easy it actually is to defeat Alpha, because she just grabs a paddle and starts whacking the shit out of her.
Yeah, I mean, like, she's a foot tall, so.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I don't know, like, you can also,
it's
just
the endurance thing. It's same like with Chucky.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. Yeah, yeah. But she like beats Alpha down and then goes into the room with Emily.
Yeah, except before she can get in there, Alpha has made her way back upstairs and stabbed her all the way through.
Yeah.
So Emily lets her in and listens to her dying deathbed confession where she said that she, you know, wishes she had used her degree. And Emily's like, you have a degree? She goes, yeah, law. And she goes, yeah, you definitely should have used that.
Probably should have used that, yeah.
And this is where she says, you know, I just always, she's like, don't go trying to chase other people's approval. That's all I ever wanted from you girls. I was hoping that maybe one day you guys would pick me as your house president. She's like, you think that we would just pick some 60-something woman as our house president out of nowhere? And she goes, I'm in my 40s.
I feel like this all was improv because I feel like Emily's character is actually reacting like she's surprised by the things. Yeah, she's
actually confused.
And also, I love how long this goes on for because Miss May's like, yeah, I just started getting really weird.
She's like, I got veneers and fillers.
And like, I would
just, and Emily goes, you look great.
I started stealing like one sock from you guys because nobody questions a missing sock.
And then I'd wear pretend I was cool.
Yeah, like what the fuck is that? Like it just keeps going and going.
And then like she does that classic like comedy bit where you think she's dying. And one more thing.
yeah. And then she actually passes finally.
Yeah. So Tyler sees on social media that Emily won the election, sends her a congrats text message, and then sends her a horny text message.
It's just like a emoji and then like the
it's the eggplant emoji.
Yeah.
That's code for penis, Travis.
No, the other emoji.
Like the licking emoji?
Yeah. Like, lick my dick.
Yeah, like, congratulations, happy you won, suck my dick.
Yeah. This is the same guy that says it's a swather house.
That's true. That hasn't happened yet, but it's coming.
Yeah.
So while he's scrolling, I guess the algorithm also permits the killer sloth account to him. Yeah. So he's like, oh no, I gotta go. He gets there. Zenny is alive, helps Emily. Emily says that she's gotta go get Bree too. So Alpha attacks them. Zenny fights with all of her swords and they end up like stabbed together at one point, but she gets her loose. Madison appears, shoots Alpha before she can take a final blow at Zenny.
This is so fucking ridiculous because Alpha is up and going in for the kill, but Maddie comes back. She's got all of her shit with her. She's still in bandages.
Yeah, her little IV.
Yeah, like her fucking machines. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, what? What happened to her? Like,
She was in the ICU an hour ago.
This, I get, is supposed to be stupid, but this is dumb. Like, they just needed somebody to save her. Okay, let's have Maddie with a gun.
I like that they leaned into it.
Where the fuck did she get the gun?
Where the fuck did Alpha learn to read English or drive a car? Travis, we're not meant to ask these questions.
I'm not concerned about the SWAT. And
the gun probably was downstairs, remember? Because Emily had dropped it earlier.
Okay, sure. All right.
So, yeah, Madison shoots Alpha. Emily goes in for the kill, but Alpha manages to roll away. And they're like, we've just got to go. So they go for the door. But Emily's like, I can't, like, we can't just leave Brianna here. That bitch is our sister.
Yeah, so... That's where Tyler
says, you can't go back. It's a slaughter house. And they all are like, dude, this is not the right time for that. And I think it's funny because they were all having like their heartfelt moments and callbacks and everything to earlier on. And Tyler's like trying to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's a slaughter house. And they're like, people are dead. Calm down.
Maddie gives her the gun. She's like, okay, if you got to go, take this at least.
And then they have a very Han and Leia moment because Tyler says, I love you. And she goes, I know.
Oh god, that's so brutal, unnecessarily.
No, but it's not like, it's not, because there was some other movie where we watched where it was like, I love you, and she goes, I know, where it's like, ugh, I don't love you too. This is more like the Star Wars like heroic moment, like, I love you, I know.
Was that what that was?
Yeah, I took it more, that was her, a full Star Wars.
I thought that she was like shitting on no, Tyler.
She was Han Solo.
Okay. Okay, that's better.
Emily's a lot of things, but I think her and Tyler are both also nerds.
Okay.
Plus, like, that's a classic movie moment. Everybody knows it.
Well, yeah, but then there's also been times where people are like, I know.
No, that's not the attitude she says it with.
Okay.
Okay. So Alpha has Bree held hostage and is wearing the tiara, and this is my favorite thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she's, like, controlling Bree.
Yes. So she kind of indicates that Emily needs to drop the gun or drop her knife that she has. Emily has hidden the gun.
This is stupid. She's like, "Oh, you want a fair fight? It's not a fair fight. She's got fucking 3-inch
razor claws. Yeah.
Like you it's have never to have a weapon too. Fair.
Yeah.
So like she drops her gun and then
she drops the sword. She has the gun.
Sword.
Hidden.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and it does go badly for her because, as we all would suspect, the Sloth wins this fight.
Yeah, Brianna has not stayed to help, as we all also suspected.
She runs away.
Immediately. Emily tries to shoot Alpha, misses, but then she stabs with the tiara.
Yeah, she's like, "You want to wear the tiara? Fine."
Which, so...
are tiaras that sharp?
It depends on what they're made of.
Okay.
So she's crawling away, and then, of course, Alpha... this is... honestly, this is probably my favorite, like, visual shot in the movie, because Alpha comes flying through, puppet, little wiggly arms and everything... Emily shoots it. We watch this puppet. I think they actually shot a puppet with like a blank or something because the way it's like just jerked back. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
So Alpha's just laying on the ground, defeated. And then Emily's going in for the kill blow, but she just points at the picture of Panama and says, "Home."
And it's like, oh.
Yeah, so you feel bad. And then we cut to 1 year later.
They are outside of their former sorority house because they've all graduated, and they are part of a program called Fetch, and they're raising awareness about the dangers of poaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of these new pledges and everything have heard about them, and they're excited to go to the Sloth House and learn more about everything.
Yeah. Also, Bree's a friend now, which why would you...
back to being their friend.
Why would you be a friend with her? She bailed on you every time that you needed her in that encounter.
Yeah, she didn't... we saw absolutely zero growth from Bree.
No, and then suddenly she's just like, "Hey, we're all cool now. Like, we're graduated. It doesn't matter anymore. We're all best friends."
Mid-credits, we cut to Panama. There's a tour group, and he's talking about how many species of animals there are and how important it is to respect that, like, you know, nature is, you know, kind of wild. And one girl is getting too close to a crocodile, and he stops her. And then the crocodile goes away. And then she starts walking, and she's like, "Oh, look at this sloth," and decides to take a selfie. And then we cut. The credits has this song made for this movie, and it's really great. It's called Last Selfie. I would encourage everybody to check it out. Mm. The music composer, he was one of the writers of the song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Sam cool. Ewing. I play this song's actually a bop, and I play it all the time.
She plays it all the time.
Travis can confirm it.
I'm a little bit disappointed, though, that it didn't end with Alpha just slaughtering them all.
I wish that Alpha, like, looked like she was gonna reach out to take the little girl's cell, like, to hurt the little girl, but then instead takes her cell phone and is like, "This is my better side."
That'd be fun too. I would like that too. But yeah, that is how Slaughter House ends.
I'm keeping it at 9. I love this movie.
Okay.
I have such a fun time with it.
I'll bump it to an 8.
Yay!
I agree, man. It's a fun movie. Like, it's fun. It's such a stupid concept, but it's great. They do a good job with it.
So that brings our average up to an 8.5.
Okay. Good for us.
I definitely encourage people to check this out because it's such a fun time.
Hell yeah, man. Like, it's just so stupid.
It knows exactly what it is as a movie.
If you want to just have fun, like, this is the perfect movie to just, like, throw on and just have a good time.
Talia was pretty sleepy during it.
Mm-hmm.
She did have to go out at 13 minutes. She was sick of all of the pausing.
Yeah.
But then she was chill for the rest of it. So I think Talia is going to give this... I think Talia is going to give this a 10 because no animals died.
The crocodile died. Do we count that?
I don't think we count it. I don't think Talia has much of a concept of lizards.
They're not real.
They're not real. Yeah.
It's a mythical creature.
Yeah, it's like a dinosaur to her.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Zoe was watching it. There's actually one point she was laying on my lap, and it was during, like, one of the kill scenes, and she was, like, breathing really hard. Like, she's getting really, like...
Oh, tense.
Yeah.
I think she could see herself as Alpha.
Oh, absolutely. The cats loved this.
Yeah,
this was aspirational for them.
They all watched it. They did. Okay. Let's see here. Who did you relate to, Jesse?
I think I probably related to Maddie.
Okay.
Because I'd be, as much fun as it would be to see a sloth, I'd be like, "Hey, so this probably isn't cool the way that you did this, and she needs to actually be in her correct natural habitat."
I respect that. I also related to Maddie. The thing that I related to the most was I was also part of Greek life. I was in a fraternity, and I didn't care about the like politics bullshit there. I just wanted to like have fun with people there.
Yeah.
And that was her whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dream sequel. What would you like to see? Do you think that they will actually do a sequel for this?
I really hope they do.
It's tough, man.
I don't know if they grossed enough for it, but I hope it goes on.
Are you kidding me? 100,000. I feel like that was like, that was probably less or more than their budget, if I were to guess.
Probably. But if they do, I really hope that they do something. God, I would love for them to spoof someone like Joe Exotic or something with yeah. it. Like I want to see Alpha, maybe Alpha becomes like a vigilante type thing for other poached animals.
How about like we get, I want it to be a spoof on Predator where Alpha is the Predator and poachers are the crew out in the jungle.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
I like that.
And you can have all kinds of explosions. Like ramp up the budget.
Absolutely.
Or you can make them shitty explosions. I'll still love it. I don't care. But like, you know, like have her just pick them off one by one in the jungle.
I like that. I like that idea a lot.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Bring Schwarzenegger.
Dude, he would sign on. Sure.
Yeah. He's done stupider movies.
Yeah. I don't know. Tell him it's like another Predator movie and be like, okay, I'll do it. Dylan, where's Dylan?
Dylan, get to the chopper.
The thing is, though, you have to have a Dylan there, though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. New tagline. Good. Let's try and talk to one.
Let's try. Okay. Politics or killer?
I was thinking of something with killer. Something is killer. Okay. Politics or killer. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Boom.
Boom.
That was tough.
That was a tough one.
Jesus.
It's very rare that there's like such an on the nose tagline.
Yeah. God. Okay. We did it though.
Okay.
Okay. Did you pull one more review for us?
Okay. So I found a 4 out of 10, and it was actually a well thought out review with like legit criticisms and not just like, this is so stupid, it's a movie about a killer sloth.
Okay.
I knew that Slaughter House was going to be a train wreck of a film, hopefully in a good way. The trailer looked funny, and who doesn't love sloths? The film definitely had its moments, the best part being Alpha the Sloth, who steals the show, and in my case, I was definitely Team Alpha. However, the film started to drag on way too long, and I started to yawn, and it was losing my attention rather quickly. I had to stop the impulse to skim through the rest of the film. I managed to hang in there, but just. I think they just dragged it on way too long, and they should have made the kills gorier for entertainment purposes. If you like spoof films, then you should enjoy it.
Okay. I've already said I agree with the kill.
You agree about the gore.
I don't really think that the pacing is too bad on this, though.
I don't think it is either, but I also think, like, mm-hmm. knowing the movies that they were kind of pulling references from are all movies that we both love. So
that's true.
Definitely hits the type of things we like to watch. And we both love a spoof movie too.
Yeah. So I think I can understand what's going on with that though, because I think that with this type of movie, especially with the title, even you're expecting a lot of killing to be going on, but really you kind of get like that little montage of the deaths. You don't get a whole lot of the killing for like a long part.
It's
like,
there are droughts. High body count, but you don't really see much of that actually.
A majority of it is done in bunches.
Yeah.
Like there's the montage and then a bunch of them die at the shower part.
Yeah.
But you don't get to see a lot of the killing. A lot of it focuses more on the ridiculousness of a sloth just being part of a sorority. And also you get a lot of the politics of, you know, a sorority election, and then the message of like poaching bad, take the thing back to its natural habitat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much less on the death than what you would maybe expect going into this movie.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's and fair. I can agree with that. I would have loved to have seen the killing ramped up a little bit more in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, like you said, if we have a sequel, definitely do Predator and definitely make it R-rated.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Do we have listener reviews?
We do. We got a few of them here. Yay. So let's start off with Twitter. First up, we got Chad. Chat says, I didn't expect much from this, to be honest, and holy shit, is this truly an example of a movie that is way better than it has any right to be. I dare you not to have fun. The sloth driving a Mustang is only one of the many furry toad highlights of the surprisingly good film. Yeah, I love that shot so much. I love the absurdity of just seeing the sloth act like a normal person.
Yeah.
And nobody acknowledges it. It's funny. Tyler says, I knew this was a horror comedy going in, but I wasn't sure if it would be a vibe that would work for me. The second those pills dropped into that drink, I screamed so loud, it really almost killed me. I laughed so hard. This movie is such dumb fun. Love that sloth.
I love that there's everybody that loves this movie seems to have a moment that had them sold on it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm gathering from these.
What was your moment?
Oh, goodness. My moment is probably when Alpha, like, just sits up and starts scrolling the net.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too.
Yeah.
Now, my moment is the flashing, like, where just disappearing all over the room. That was so cool. I love that.
I like that yours wasn't, like, one of the dumb, it's like, how silly, is the sloth doing it moment.
No, that is dumb. How is the sloth doing it? Sloths are supposed to be slow. That sloth is moving as fast as lightning right there in that scene.
I think if we've learned anything today besides poaching is bad, is that stereotypes are harmful.
And there's, excuse me. I'm sorry. All right. And our final review over on Instagram is from Michael Lee Howard, who says, Slaughterhouse was simple fun cheese. The production was surprisingly good. I was not sure what to expect, but I can tell you, it definitely was not a sloth that uses social media, drives a car, and fights with a sword and gun. I do think the movie would have been better with about 15 minutes cut. For the fun factor, I'm going to go with 7.5, which was what my
original score was.
Oh, also he has hashtag killer sloth.
Yes.
Yeah, I want that to be like an actual hashtag out there.
It probably is. I wouldn't be surprised if they made like an Instagram or something for purposes of marketing the movie.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I mean, it's just dumb fun. And that's really how you got to go in with this one. You just got to expect something stupid. You got to be open to it. If you're not in the mood for it, I can totally get it. Because this is definitely one of those movies that you have to like go into it with like the right mood and expectations.
If you're not drawn in by the name itself, then you're not in the right mood for it.
Probably true.
I'm just going to say that.
That's probably true.
That's a good way to go by it.
Okay, but that's it for the reviews. Which means that's it for this week's episode. Jesse's birthday episode. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're moving on. We got our To Be or Not To Be this weekend. So be on the lookout for that. Again, Jesse's pick. Mm-hmm. But next week, we have our Patreon voted episode, which will be ATM.
2012?
Mm-hmm.
Starring Josh Peck.
Josh Peck from Drake and Josh, everybody.
Which, if you are wondering if that means Travis is going to sing the theme song.
It's going to take some time to realize.
This is, again, it's a fairly watchable movie. It is available on Tubi.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have subscriptions, you can watch it on AMC Plus, YouTube, Sling TV, Prime, YouTube TV, or you can rent it from Google Play.
Cool. So. It's we watched that a long time ago.
I think we haven't watched it since 2012.
No, I don't think we have. We watched it when we first started dating, which was 2012. So
it's a single location. It's an ATM vestibule.
Yeah,
they get stuck there, and there's somebody trying to kill them.
Somebody watched that movie Phone Booth with Colin Farrell, and was like, "What if we did that in an ATM, but with Josh Peck?" And that's what we get here, folks.
And it's not, like, I remember enjoying it.
I liked it, too. And
so,
from
let's
comments
see if it holds up 12 years later.
We've had comments from people so far that are like, whoa, surprisingly good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, check it out for yourself. Figure it out if you like Josh Peck in an ATM. Or you can just listen to us talk about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's coming up next week.
Yep. That's where we're at. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. You want to plug our social media?
Yeah. So you can follow us on Twitter or Blueski at Least Fave Pod. We also are on Instagram and Threads, Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. If you wanted to reach us on Google, you can always send us an email or just email, not just Google. But our email address is leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com. And we have a website, what's your leastfavoritescarymovie.com, where you can find all of our stuff there too. And we would also like to shout out our patrons, such as Joe,
Freakatron,
as is his name, Amber, and Michael. Thank you guys very much for supporting the show. We really, really appreciate it. Y'all are the best. And thank you for voting for ATM.
Yes.
We get a chance to talk about Josh Peck, and I am not...
You know Travis will never turn that down.
I'm not going to turn it down, and I'm not going to take it lightly. Like, I have an immense responsibility to do that movie justice because of that. All right, that's it. That's it for Slaughterhouse, everybody. I hope you guys watched this movie if you haven't yet. If you have, I hope you liked it. I hope you liked this episode.
All of the people who like this movie who have spoken to us know that it's a good time to talk to us about this movie because we have such love for it. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it.
And if you haven't talked to us about it, talk to us about it.
Talk to us about it. Go check out their website. Support them. Let's hope for a Predator spoof.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's make that happen.
Slother Jungle.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The
that's
Slotherder?
It. The Slotherder. The Slotherder.
Well, no, that doesn't work, does it?
No.
You know what? We'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Predifer.
Predifer. That just sounds like a name.
It does. Okay.
It's okay. It's not on us to figure this out. It's on the people that make the sequel. Unless we are the ones to make the sequel, then goddamn.
Yeah, then let's,
we got some work to do.
Yeah, we'll definitely workshop it somewhere. Yeah. Don't worry.
Okay.
We won't stop at Predator, guys.
Or will we?
Or will we?
All right. We will see you guys next week. Or this weekend, actually. Yay. Yeah. All right. See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a slaughterhouse.